Welcome to the Perfectly Sancho episode 699. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd like to point out that the Jets are 3-7 and the Cowboys are 3-6. So there is indeed good in the world.
Yeah. 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 Aaron Rodgers getting his coach fired and then that team not actually doing, maybe doing worse.
Yeah. They made the defensive coordinator the head coach, which destabilized the defense, which was the good part of that team.
Yeah, so now the defense isn't playing well, and Rodgers is not doing anything. Like
Adams, who they brought in, 0 catches in the last game.
Wow.
0. In the first half. In the second half, he had, like, it was like 6 catches for 12 yards or something like absurdly bad.
I mean, it's not that what's the guy? Who's the New York quarterback for the Giants?
Jones?
Daniel Jones. I think he was, 4 of 6 for 0 yards?
Yeah, with a touchdown, though. He had a touchdown.
With a touchdown in one half in one of the games recently. So, I mean, it's not that. New York has some miserable football right now. Jeff is here as well.
Yeah, I mean, if there is good in the world, it sure as fuck ain't at the Chicago Bears.
I didn't bring up the Bears, but that also.
It's also, there's a lot of really bad football this year. Like, really, really bad football.
Yeah, I mean, it's par for the course for the Bears at this point, so. I don't know how our head coach did not get fired this week, but.
I think they're giving him the rest of the year, but, like, I don't think it's the off season.
You're destroying yet another high round draft pick.
The funny part about that, I think this is hilarious. So they fired their offensive coordinator for not dealing well with a top rookie draft pick quarterback, and bring in the guy who got fired last year from the Panthers, who was the offensive coordinator who was fired because he couldn't deal well with a highly drafted quarterback. Like, it's the same situation.
2-15.
And I see all these articles that are like, oh, it's so good that he was in this situation last year. He brings all this experience. I'm like, no, he was fired because he sucked. They got rid of him.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
I mean, I guess he's who's available, so.
I mean, at this point, you know, all the coaches have jobs, right? It's hard to.
Yeah. If you're a good coach, you're not waiting around till November to get a call.
Bill Belichick's available. You want to bring him in to coach your offense?
Yes.
He couldn't hurt it. He could not make it worse.
That's the dream, Jeff. Next year is when they fire Eberflus and bring in Belichick.
Yeah, I think they should fire Eberflus and the guy above him who... They just suck, dude. They're never going to be good.
I feel you, Jeff.
They won the offseason, right? Like, everybody was like, they made all these moves and they're going to be great this year. And that's because
they spent like $30 million on some lineman like a year ago who now is just like quitting. Like,
I mean, the Bears seem to be quitting in general. Like, there was that clip of the one receiver just walking off the field when the play was still alive.
DJ Moore.
Yeah, I think he's just sick of this bullshit.
I know. Could you imagine being as talented as DJ Moore and having to deal with this fucking team? Like, it's just got to be so frustrating.
But to be fair, on that play in particular, he had stepped out of bounds. So, like, he's not allowed to catch the pass at that point.
He's done.
He's just like, I'm just going to step off because I know they're not paying attention.
I don't want to confuse them.
I'm just going to go sit on the bench now, guys. It's over.
Yeah.
Bad football continues to happen. And bad things happening in the world.
Yeah.
I'm still not I know where I am. You know, I mean, I've accepted what has happened with the election. It's just, it's rather depressing.
At least the result was definitive and over quickly.
Yeah.
The last thing I'd want is like it to go on for like weeks
and then find and out
then,
that
then have it be Trump.
Yeah.
That would have been worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was like texting with Chris the night of and some other people, and it was like 6 p.m. here, and I was like just watching Florida and Georgia, and I was like, dude, this looks bad. Like, you know, I'm not expecting like Kamala to win Florida. I'm just looking at like trying to compare it to what happened in 2020. And I'm just like, I think I told you, Chris, I'm not seeing anything good here.
Like, yeah, no, there's no good news. And it never shifted. Like it was like, oh, maybe it'll shift. And like, it just kept getting worse and worse.
It kept narrowing. And I remember like, you know, an hour or so after that being like, well, down to the blue wall. Yeah, hopefully we hold. And no, it's just all around pure annihilation. And now we get pure annihilation.
Yeah, loving these cabinet picks.
It's so insane. Like,
I don't know. Some of the, like, I can't see Matt Gaetz getting confirmed as attorney
general. No.
I just don't see that happening.
I can.
No, because there are too many Republican senators who don't like him, and they don't need to turn that many.
No, I know that they don't like him, but they're all scared of Trump. So what Trump says goes.
Well, they can't be that scared, because if they were that, like, the Senate is a weird, like, I know in the House they're terrified of Trump, but the Senate is a different kind of animal. And, like, they already rejected his handpicked guy for Speaker. Or, for Senate Majority Leader. They're like, no, we're not going with Scott. We're picking somebody else.
Yeah.
So I think that was, like, the shot across the bow. Like, we're just not going to roll over for you.
Well, hey, maybe there's a glimmer of hope that, like, the crazy... But, like, that's the thing is, like, so many of the picks are crazy. Like...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm with you guys in that. Like, if there's one I could stop, it would definitely be Gaetz.
Yeah.
The rest of them are not good either. I mean, the RFK one was today. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
The putting a Fox News host in charge of the military.
That's a little weird. That's the other one that I'm pretty sure won't go through. Like, it just that they're going to reject him on his resume. It's just not good enough. For a party that claims to be good on the military, they just can't do that.
Right. Like, how do we put him there?
Yeah, you guys must have more optimism than
me. I have no optimism, Jeff. I want to make it abundantly clear.
There are plenty of other very conservative people they can put in that job who are infinitely more qualified. I can't see it happening. There are too many Republican senators who are reasonable on those sorts of issues that you can't roll the Senate that way that he could roll the House.
I guess that the good thing, as you said, Tony, is like the guy they went with has already kind of said he's not in favor of recess appointment. So
yeah,
there'll at least be a hearing. I don't know if any of them have the spine to not confirm, but hopefully they do. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, but, it's a complete shit show, and it is exactly what was promised. Like, they said they were going to put RFK in charge of health. So you know what? Like, I don't know, man.
Some of it, it's been like a little head scratching to like just watch people come to terms with it, because like you just see like. Facebook is filled with people going like, I can't believe that like my family is not talking to me anymore. Like my friends aren't going to talk to me. And it's like, you're going around saying that you voted because of the economy, because you don't understand the economy. Also, the people that are saying they don't want to be friends with you or talk with you or have holidays with you anymore are doing so because they just find you morally reprehensible. Like for them, it was, we're voting against evil. And you were like, yeah, but eggs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, but I think that's where the Democrats get themselves in trouble. Like, that eggs thing is a big deal. Like, the fact it that, is, like...
But the president not going to set the price of eggs.
Right, but the president is, like, emblematic of the direction of the country. And, like, when Biden was elected, like, the price of eggs at the grocery store next to me was $2. And sure. Today it's $4.25.
I mean, when Biden was elected, also we were still locked away in our houses.
Well, right, and that's true. But like, I was watching this thing on CNN where the commentator said politicians need to spend a lot more time shopping for their own groceries, because like that is a huge expense, and like in the hierarchy of needs of the individual people, feeding your family is like at the top.
Sure. I don't
Democrats that. Spent a lot of time trying to avoid that issue, whereas the Republicans made it front and center.
But the Republicans didn't say like how they were going to fix it. They just were going.
No, they didn't. No, we're gonna
fix it.
That's all they said. But like the Democrats were in charge, and that this happened on their watch, and like a lot of people held them responsible for that. And we only have two choices, right? And if you're holding them responsible, you have to vote for the Republicans. It's not like there's a third party option. So
I told Chris my theory of it earlier, and it's not far out of line with what you're saying. It's just, I think no matter what, this is going to be the end result. You could have had primaries. You could have had a different candidate. Yes.
Absolutely.
The end result was going to be Trump getting reelected because, in my opinion, people do not pay attention to politics. They vote.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they are not paying attention to any of this shit. And they're just mad at the incumbent party because they're mad about prices going up. And that's
that,
it.
They don't care that Kamala owned him at the debate, or they don't care that he said something stupid at a rally. That doesn't mean anything to them.
Now, it would be harder for or it would be easier for me to accept this if she was running against like Mitt Romney, you know, but it makes you sad that like people cannot see Trump for who he is.
I think the bigger problem is what's wrong with the Republican Party, and that needs to be fixed. Like, it shouldn't be allowing, if this is how our system works, the Republican Party should not be presenting us with a nominee who is so completely unqualified for the job.
Right.
Yeah.
Take away the convictions and the potential criminal court stuff that was all there. Like, the guy's just reprehensible besides that. Like,
yeah,
everything that comes out of his mouth is incendiary. And then we turn around and say like, hey, that sounds like shit. You don't call us names. Don't say we're racist. Don't say we're sexist. Like, except isn't that's what he's saying? What he's saying is racist and sexist and homophobic and transphobic. And we shouldn't call you out on being a shitbag. I don't know. That's where I have a problem with it. Is like, don't call us those things. That was where I think the Democrats made a dent. Early on, back in August, when Waltz came on and he called them weird, and that was they were on their back, like they were on their back feet, like what the hell, like why are you calling us? And then they stopped. The Democrats just stopped and started like, why don't we keep calling them weird? They didn't like it. I don't know if it makes a difference, but at least maybe feel better.
I don't think it does, but I think they were afraid of like overdoing it and overplaying it, like. You know, you had your week of it got in people's minds.
Yeah, but then they turn around and start running around with fucking Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and like call them fucking weird.
I know in hindsight, like everyone hates the Liz Cheney thing. Like,
you weren't turning any Republican voters.
I was wrong. I thought what they were doing was smart. It didn't work, but I was just like, you know, in my opinion. This was my theory. My theories were all wrong, but it was that like most of the country is kind of in the center. They just kind of want things to get a little bit better each time. And the idea was to appeal to maybe the 10% of Republicans who really detest Trump. And if you could peel even 8% of them off, you're in pretty good shape. But like, it's just nothing mattered. Like it was
95% of Republicans voted for Republicans. Like,
yeah,
like they voted for Trump and they did not turn on him at all.
I don't fault her. I really don't.
I don't fault her.
You kind of can play the what if game. Like if she had been the nominee the whole time, if whatever. But I think I agree with Jeff's earlier sentiment. Is that like, I think they were doomed no matter what happened.
Yeah.
It's just like a weird economy. Like people looking for change, and just change for change's sake. And like.
We're going to get
change. Democrat, you're not getting change. Oh, we're going to get a lot of change. Well, we can determine whether it's good change or bad change. I don't think it'll take that long to see.
I think you're right, Jeff. People don't pay attention to politics, and that's a problem. But also, like you see it immediately just from the Google searches the day after the election, or the day of, when the top search was, did Biden drop out?
A big search was who's running for president.
Yeah, like they didn't even fucking know.
Yeah.
And then the next day it was, what are tariffs? Like, oh my God.
Jesus, man.
That whole tariff thing will never actually happen. There's just no way.
I hope not, because we do a video game podcast here. We're going to be talking about retro shit. we're not going to be able to afford a PS6. Like, or anything else. Like, I hope you got your graphics card now. If they enact that shit, it's gonna get real expensive.
Yeah, it's just not gonna happen. Yeah, I think of all people, like Elon, who seems to be gaining power by the minute, which is insanity. Would see how much money that he would lose in that situation, just not go for it.
Yeah, because. Americans we're consumers. Like that's end of the day, we're a consumerist society. We buy the most shit in the world.
Yeah. Like good luck making your electric cars, because all of the materials that allow them to make the batteries come from Africa.
Yeah.
So you
we just do not have the natural resources here to build that shit. Like we cannot get the stuff for the batteries and for the chips. It's just not. It's not part of our natural resources.
Nope. Got a lot of coal, though.
You guys don't think Trump doesn't know about this? Hasn't researched this?
I don't think he gives a shit.
I'm being completely...
I think he was saying whatever he could say to get elected, and I think that's the big thing about him, is like a lot of this stuff that's super evil that he says, like, it's never going to happen, because... He doesn't actually believe it. He's just trying to say whatever panders to the people he happens to be talking to at the moment.
I hope that that's accurate.
There was all that bullshit about him running for a third term, which he can't. But now, because the Democrats are idiots, they're like trying to pass legislation to make it clear to him that he can't run for a third term.
Yeah, can like Adam Schiff shut the fuck up? Like. Oh, the No Kings Act, man! Shut the fuck up.
Stop. Just stop. Like,
and if you did this previously, why didn't you do it? now we're going to spend the next 2 months doing dumb legislation. Like, come on now.
I just kind of want to scream into the void for like a good 5 minutes.
Well, I think now is a good time to like delete your social media, like get off Twitter, get off Facebook, like. Ignore all those
from Reddit.
All you're going to see is things that make you angry, and it's going to be 4 years, so you're going to see a lot of angry. And now's a good time to like not do those things.
Yeah, I don't know. I almost am starting to look at it with like a gallows humor. I'm just like, what can you do? And I'm going to say another thing too. I'm not going to spend the next 4 years being miserable like the first fucking time. I'm going to let this country get what it fucking voted for. And I'm not even going to cut people out of my life or anything like that. It fucking is what it is, man. Like, maybe you'll learn something from this. But based on 2016 to 2020, probably fucking not.
Yeah, people are insular. They think about themselves, and that's how they're going to think about it next time too. They're not going to think about other people.
Yeah.
You know,
and if Trump runs things the way he ran things last time, we can look forward to a Democratic president in 4 years. Yeah, so probably, there's always that.
Yeah. And if the midterms are, 2 years away, so.
Yep. And hopefully at that point, they're barely holding on. Like, they flipped the Senate, barely. And they barely have hold of the House. Like, it's, a couple seats. And Trump keeps picking people from the House.
The House leadership is screaming at him. They're like, stop it. We can't give up anymore. Although, like, those people will probably be replaced by Republicans when they do their special elections. So, like, it's kind of a moot point. But
yeah, like somebody like Gates is gonna be they're gonna fill in with another shitbag Republican from there. Right. So,
but then in like the short term, when they're like electing the leadership for the new House, and like they have a margin of like one or two because they've removed all these other Republicans. Which lets like one reasonable or one completely unreasonable person change the entire agenda.
Yeah.
It's going to be amusing. It's going to look like the last House election.
I guess the one thing is Gates is the one that was going to fight McCarthy on the floor, right?
Like, yep.
He's gone.
I can't now. He's already resigned.
No fist fights. So damn it.
It's a shame.
The scale of the insanity and destruction is like, to the point where, like, I'm just narrowing my focus to and being selfish and going, like, what do I have to worry about? And me personally, I am worried about the fact that I'm a federal employee.
Yeah.
And you have someone coming into the government whose job it is to gut the government. So I still, I have hope that, like, I have hope of a few things. Like, it's hard probably to dismantle the Postal Service.
Well, the one thing about the Postal Service is, unlike a lot of the other positions of government, it's constitutionally protected.
It is it is in the Constitution. It is also an independent federal agency in that, we don't really receive funding from the government. And my other hope is, too, that there will be a pretty quick falling out between Trump and Elon. I would be very annoyed by that guy.
Those two guys.
He moved into his house, dude. Like, dude, go home. I got you. Don't worry about it. Like,
I do love that. One, he's appointed him as what, director of
a really weird title.
Doge. The Office of Government Efficiency.
Which they put two people in charge of.
Yeah, that
do one job.
Like, it's a job that's supposed to be about efficiency, and there's two people in charge of it. It's also not a real federal.
No, it's just something that he's making up.
It doesn't exist. You can't just create a federal agency just because you said so. Like, it has to be approved first. So that's kind of amusing.
It is absolutely wild, though, that like the richest man in the world is just kind of like buying our politics. Like, it's just like.
Yep, he bought the largest social media platform and made it a shithole there, and now he's bought his way into power. Like, he can't run for president, but he can sit right next to him and be who's the guy in Lord of the Rings, Tony? Wormtongue.
Yeah,
he's that guy. That's him. He's just like whispering in Trump's ear, except, the king in this matter is a giant shitbag. Not a good guy, whispered to evil. But anyway, video games happen. We played some. I played some to just kind of escape from the shit that was on television and everywhere else. And Jeff, you played some of the same thing I played. Did you finish Black Ops 6 yet?
I think I'm really close, because they're like, did you finish it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Tony, do you care what I say?
No, go ahead. Those games all have the same plot anyway.
I was about to start a mission, and they're like, are you sure you want to get going with this? Because like the mission is going to take place in the safe house. So is that like near the end?
Yeah, you have like two levels left. One, which is cool. Another, which is just like a generic kind of Call of Duty level where you're protecting the house.
Yeah. Well, I guess a good place to start is to say like it's the campaign is, I think, pretty cool because it's not a lot of traditional Call of Duty levels. It really mixes it up.
Yeah, sometimes good, sometimes I don't think great, but
what do you think was bad?
There's the open world one where you're in the car is fine. I think it's just kind of dull, like, you know.
I thought it was fine. I just appreciated that it felt like variety.
But, something different, right? Like, it's not just a roller coaster ride. So Tony, there's a level where you're dropped into the Iraqi desert and like you're prepping for a mission at one of Saddam Hussein's palaces. And they basically throw you into like a war zone map, and there's a bunch of different like little icons on the map, and you have three objectives, but then there's like sub objectives that you can do, and that'll give you like extra perks and equipment for the upcoming mission. And you can approach it in any way you want. It's just an open world level.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool.
And you'll drive a car just like Warzone. So I don't think that the actual mission itself is great. Like, it is neat that there's this open world thing. It's just they're all kind of like, hey, go here, blow this thing up, kill these people. But it is something different.
There is a mission called Emergence, which I remember talking to you about, like telling you about, Chris. Like, wait till you see this mission called Emergence. What did you think of that one?
That one's cool. So there's one thing about it that I didn't like. It's like, Tony, it's another one where you're kind of like dropped into an area. But it's not open world. It's just like a map. I think, Jeff, you compared it to like BioShock.
It gave me very strong BioShock vibes.
So like you're kind of tasked with finding these four key cards and you have to go to like different sections in this area, and there's like a hub.
It's like different wings of like a lab or something, yeah. Right? Like a lab, like science facility,
or whatever. Like some office building, some like offices some lab stuff, or like there's a bunch of different like sciencey crap that you're going to.
Go to the research and develop department and get that key. And in each one, there's a boss.
Yeah,
that's what I didn't like. Different. Like, you didn't like that?
The bosses were like so fucking bullet spongy.
Oh my god, I loved it.
And then like you're fending off like a bunch of other enemies at the same time, which was fine. It was just you had to kind of. I didn't like that. Like, and it's similar to these other ones. There's normal enemies that also have like a big health bar over them, and I wasn't a fan of them either. It's like they're just like way bullet spongy or overpowered.
And go ahead.
Yeah, it's just like it's, and sometimes like you can just get overwhelmed in that, and if you can't create space, you're kind of fucked. There is at some point you do get a grappling hook, which is neat.
Yes,
And that is able to get you. Yeah, and that's able to like get you out of there. So like once I got that, that was fun. I still didn't like fighting the boss because it was like lots of, you know, shooting at it, and it wouldn't go down. But like at least like with the grappling hook, I was quickly able to get away from him.
One of the bosses, Tony, is in a room filled with mannequins, and every time you turn your back on the mannequins, you could hear them walking up behind you, and they will attack you. So it's like
mannequins.
Yes.
So like if you look at them, they're just standing, right? But if you turn around, they start moving towards you. I don't know if either of you ever saw. There's a famous Doctor Who episode called "Don't Blink." Where, you know, it's this statue, and if you close your eyes or turn away from it, it moves towards you. And it was very similar to that, except like 100 of these mannequins.
But just like the vibe of that, like it just like BioShock came to mind from that.
Like neat, very horror-ish.
Yeah. And just experimental for a series that is like this huge mainstream, like fucking hoorah, fucking, you know, warfare shit to like have this level is like, oh, that's cool.
The whole, and this goes back to Cold War II, which was 5 years ago now, I think. But these games are more like first-person Mission Impossible games.
Yeah.
Than they are like normal Call of Duty games. Like, they've really turned the Black Ops series into this like cool spy thing.
Yeah, that's going to be like, that's, I think I said this last time we talked about it. It's like, that's the one thing that I think that like Cold War doesn't even get enough credit for. Cause when this one came out, they're like, this is the best fucking campaign. They're finally trying some shit out. I'm like, have you played any of the recent games? Cause they are trying shit out.
Yeah, they consistently try. It's, I think these ones are the ones that really like deliver on it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's not like, it's like Cold War doesn't exist to people. I'm like, yeah. Okay. And a lot of people really loved, I didn't care as much, but I think you were one of them, Chris. Like, a lot of people love Infinite Warfare, I think it's called. One where you go to space.
Yeah, I liked Infinite Warfare, yeah. That one tried a lot of weird, different shit too. Like, you're flying a spaceship at one point.
It's like, do we not have any memory? Like, because they're just like, the way this was treated in reviews was like, this is a revelation. They finally figured it out and did something fresh. And I'm like, I think it's really good, but I just disagree with the notion that it hasn't been good recently. There's been some bad ones that I guess, I don't know. I like all the recent ones. Oh no, I didn't play the one last year, which I guess was terrible.
Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't play that one yet.
So either. I just skipped it. I said, fuck that. Have you tried out the other modes or?
So I played like one round of zombies, but I played it by myself, so that didn't go very well.
Probably not very fun.
No, and it's like I don't really know how to play zombies. I don't think I ever really knew how to play zombies.
I'm kind of the same.
And so like I don't know. That just didn't work for me. I should probably try it with other people. And yeah, in multiplayer, they do give you the option of like, hey, what do you want to play? And I immediately shut off like 7 of the 9 modes and I just play Kill Confirmed and Team Deathmatch.
Exactly the same. Those are the only two I like to play. And I'm honestly almost want to turn off Team Deathmatch and make it just Kill Confirmed, because for whatever reason, I love Kill Confirmed. Like, I just love it. And yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
Team Deathmatch, except like when you die, you have to, you know, or when you kill somebody, you have to pick up a little token.
There's a little spin to it. And it like acts at, it kind of controls, you know, because if you're just playing Team Deathmatch, you could kill someone from across the map and whatever, move on. But it's like here, it's like you have to do this extra step to get the full credit. Like, I don't know. I just, it's fun to me. I like picking up dog tags.
I do like Kill Confirmed. My one problem with Kill Confirmed is you will eventually run into, you'll get put on a team where people are just playing it like Team Deathmatch.
I know.
So they're just killing people and they're not picking up tags, and you'll
just leaving them on the field, man. Yep. You're like, dude, what are you doing?
You'll get blown out. Like, I think you played a 75 in Team Deathmatch. You'll get blown out like 75 to 30. And like, when you look at it, like, some dude on your team has 47 kills, but like 2 pickups. It's like, what are you doing? Oh, no.
Like, do you not see the shiny thing that drops? Like,
pointless. Yeah. That shiny thing is nothing.
Like, you don't, you know, winning, losing in that doesn't really matter at all, but like, everybody likes to win. Like, you want to be on the winning team. Nobody wants to get stomped.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. I don't know about you. I think the maps are pretty good, and I guess there's new. I haven't played it in a few days because I'm so obsessed with another game right now. But I like the maps. I guess there's new maps as of today or yesterday. Yeah,
I think season one just started, and so yeah, they released some new. I haven't seen the new maps yet. The ones they have are really good, though. I think. Mm-hmm.
I like that strip mall one.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. There's like a, you go to like an old Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And like when you start off, it's like, it looks nice. Like the whole strip mall is like super nice. But as you play, like the store's like fucked up. Yeah. Yeah, like starts like deteriorating from all the bullet fire and grenades. And it really starts to look cool. You play in, you know, I think it's called the Rook, which is from the campaign. It's like your safe house.
Oh yeah.
There's a mission there. That's a neat map. There's a few that I think are really neat. And cool. I haven't got Turn in the Nuketown yet. I saw they added that as well.
Oh wow. Okay. I gotta get back into it. I'm so stuck on, we will talk about it for a second, but stuck on something else. But yeah, I was enjoying it despite the fact that like I am so bad. It's just like every once in a while, like I get so happy if my team wins and I am in the top three screen. Like I have, happened to be like three times out of I don't know how many matches. You know what I mean? Like I'm on a like. But don't we've discussed this before. But like those matches are what kind of keep me going with it. Where it's like, yeah, I'm terrible, but you know, it's fun even when you're terrible. But every once in a while, like you just have a run where you're just like fucking annihilating people, and you do get better. One, the more you play the maps, and two, as the more you play, your loadout is just getting better and better. You know,
your loadout's getting better, and the game is recognizing how you're playing as well. So it should be pairing you with people that are more on your level, so that you do feel like you're improving.
I think that's a problem that happens when I play with friends. Because I like if we get a team of people together, it's like there's one dude who's so good that like I end up like. You know, you end up finding this team that, like, I have no business fucking around with, like.
Oh, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, what's going on? Like why these people, am I so like, bad?
I'm not used to, like, players being this good. Although the players are, in general, very good in that game. Like, I don't know how people are so fucking fast. Like, it's unreal. Like, you think you have a beat on someone, and nope. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, people have, and those are the Madden people, right? The FIFA people. This is their game.
Yeah.
They only play Call of Duty, and those skills transfer from game to game because it hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
So we play it enough, like, oh yeah, that was fun. Like, you know, we might prestige maybe if we we stick around, but we're not prestiging 15 times.
No. I mean, other games come out and I have to make room on my fucking hard drive because it's gigantic.
It's
fucking
it's a big, big game. Yeah. But yeah, good, a good Call of Duty.
You're not going to play it, Tony?
I'll probably play it at some point. I'm just playing other things right now. Like, I know I will also be bad at the multiplayer, so I'm not really that eager to get into that part of it, but I'll play single player.
It's still fun. I think it's still fun, even if you're like terrible.
I would definitely play. Like, if you guys were like, "Hey, let's play some," I would jump in for a few matches. Like,
yeah, I would probably install it if we were like, "Let's all go play." I would probably.
Yeah, I would try out Zombies too. I tried it out with some friends, and you know, it's fun. It's just I'm like Chris, where I'm like, "What?" And none of us knew. Like, what is the ultimate goal here? You know what I mean? Like. Like, we got to it, like, you know, 15 rounds, and you could do an exfil, and we did that, and then we got out of there, and it's like, okay, it was very hard to do, but, like, is that the point, or, like, what's the point? What's the end goal of this? Like, I don't understand it. Like, just see how far you could get, maybe, like, wait till the next exfil? I don't...
Yeah, so, like, a never-ending horde mode, like, that it just keeps going. I know there are boss rounds, like, so they'll release some sort of big zombie or big monster to fight, but yeah, as I said, I didn't get past the first round, so
one last thing about the game is in the campaign, Chris, I told you about this long series of puzzles in the safe house. Did you end up doing that?
I did.
Yeah,
I thought it was neat. Yeah, so it's, Tony, you get this, there's a safe house. And like from the mission select screen, like they're called missions, but basically it's just like a prep mission. So like you can walk around your safe house, and in your safe house you can upgrade three different locations, and
like upgrade your weapons, you know, upgrade your gear.
Yeah, and like give yourself perks and stuff, and like they're permanent to your character. as you play, or you can buy some weapons or whatever. But then you can also just like explore this house and get more like lore stuff. And there's a safe in one of the rooms, and to find out the code, like you have to go through like this long series of
like I was literally writing stuff down, like trying to decipher stuff on a piece of paper, like trying to solve these puzzles. Like it was really neat. Unfortunately, I don't think the reward for doing it really fucking means goddamn fucking thing.
It's like $1,000. It's like, which is nothing. Ooh.
Yeah.
Like you can get like a couple upgrades with that. But it's neat that like there's this like weird thing.
You just don't expect it because it's just supposed to be your hub. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, no, there's stuff to do in the hub.
It's interesting. The people in the hub too, like they don't stand still. So it's kind of like be like, you know, going to a town in Skyrim. Like, you know, maybe the computer guy is working at his computer, but sometimes he's cooking, and sometimes the lady Svetnani, she just like picks up and leaves. Like, in fact, I think I might have a video of it. So she's like, I got to get out of here. She's like fighting with Marshall, who's kind of like the commander of the group. And she starts walking out. So I like walk out behind her, and she gets into this car, and I'm just like, where's she going? Like, we'll see what happens. So I stand behind the car. She turns it on and ran over me. Backed over me. It's like, you have died. It's like, oh shit. Like, so you can die in those, which shouldn't be, they're not combat oriented. Like, you should not die in your safe house.
Little did you know the safe house was not safe.
Yes, they can actually murder you there. But yeah, there's like a neat puzzle that, you know, you're using a black light to like find clues and, you know, trying to find keys and listen to codes and stuff. Like there's a neat thing going on. Whole game, pretty cool. It's a nice complete package. And if you have Game Pass, it's included. So
yeah,
might as well give it a shot. Jeff, you said you were playing something else currently that's keeping you away from Black Ops multiplayer. What would that game be?
It came out last year. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. It's called Baldur's Gate 3.
No, a small indie game.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I guess we've covered this game quite a bit. I mean, we gave it Game of the Year, right? So,
Yeah.
The thing that's awesome about it is there's like so many permutations to how things could play out that like it feels almost infinitely replayable. Like, and not even like, not just that, like I'm playing it for like a third time and finding like entire missions and areas that I never saw before. And then, you know, like on top of that, it's like you could play as a different class that feels different. You could play I think I'm playing a class I played before, but that could play out totally different the way you build it out and all that. Like, it's just like, and who is in your party. So like, there's this one lady I never kept in my party because she's so mean to everybody and she's a bitch. But she's like the powerhouse, you know, she's like the, you know, kill someone with a fucking hammer. I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep her in this time and not use Gale.
This is the orc lady.
That's totally different.
Orcish lady.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, that's totally, you know, now I have someone who, like, you know, their character is, like, all, like, super strong, like, melee-based shit. And it's like, oh, that's cool. Like, get to learn how to, like, play with this whole new character that I never even messed with before. I'm sure there's other party members I've never even discovered. Like, I absolutely fucking love Baldur's Gate, and it's a game that like is so easy for me to like play for like hours on end. Like, I could, like, if I had the day off and I start playing that, I'm probably playing it all fucking day. Like, you know, I'll try to get some shit done around the house, take a little breaks, but like, it's like you set it. It's like a book you set down and then just go back to it and pick up the book and keep going, then it's just, man, dude, I fucking love that game. But I don't know what else there really is to say other than that. I was like, yes, it's still really great.
That's, I'm just super happy that, like, you have, and I don't know if this will translate. You played some Divinity.
I didn't play some. I played a lot of it.
Yeah, you like that. So I'm like glad that you've come around on, you know, classic CRPG kind of game design. I know Baldur's Gate is definitely more modern than that, but
the problem is like, I doubt that there's anything that comes close to it. Like Divinity 2 kind of does. Like, it's kind of like, you know, it's made by the same people and it, you know, very clear. It's like a very similar type of game, but even that feels like super, super dated compared to what they did at 3.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate is like a modernization of that old style, and I think we will see some in the future.
Well, my biggest hope is that they go back and do a Divinity 3, learning, you know, after having, you know, all they learned on Baldur's Gate 3, give us Divinity 3. I will absolutely be there day one to play that shit. I'm hoping that's what their next game is at least, you know, their type of, the type of game that they
do. I mean, they said that they're going back and doing like one of their things. So whether that's, you know, Original Sin 3 or a new property, but you know, it's going to be, they're going to have their own.
It's going to be CRPG. You think?
That's what they do. Yeah.
So like I have that, like, again, I don't know if I could go back and play like Baldur's Gate 1 or 2. And
no, you cannot.
No, don't do that. Those games are not the same.
So no, it's
you would not have that experience.
And the other things I've tried, like outside of Larian, nothing has quite hit with me yet.
Go ahead. So I'd like to get your opinion. Like, and you don't play PC games, but a game came out earlier this year, a Warhammer game called Rogue Trader, which people were saying was very, like, you know, it was a great version of a CRPG.
Yeah,
And it's like it's not available on console, so you wouldn't get a chance to play it. And that's part of the problem with CRPGs is like a lot of them are still like, you know, Obsidian has theirs,
InXile
has theirs, yeah, but a lot of them are still locked to PC.
I get that, and it makes sense, but it's like, I don't know, man. They like Larian figured out how to make it work on console just fucking fine, and so
I don't think it's that. They haven't figured out how to make it work, although Larian
is a great big job.
I think you watch some of his videos too. Mortismal,
yeah,
on YouTube. Like, he does a lot. He great covers channel. A lot of CRPG stuff, and like those games are, they're selling. Some of those games that he's covering are selling like 100,000-150,000 copies.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't think that there's a big enough base for them to, like, make a console.
How did Baldur's Gate fucking sell? Like, that sold a lot, didn't it? Like, I guess because it was just Baldur's, so good.
It has the name.
I guess. Well. I mean,
you knew what Baldur's Gate was, right? And, like, I played
the fucking, right, the action ones from the PlayStation 2. Yeah. Like,
and a lot of people did.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
And, like, Dungeons & Dragons is a huge property. Yep. Like if you were to make a Dungeons & Dragons CRPG, yeah, people are going to play that. But some of these other ones, like, it's same with some of Tony's strategy games, right? They're locked to PC. They could make console versions of those, like, some of them. It's just, there's just not a big enough market to, you know, transfer them to other platforms sometimes.
I mean, that makes sense. I don't know. I love the game. I will probably play it like dozens of times before I shuffle off this mortal coil.
I am super happy that you are enjoying it that much.
You should play it, Chris.
I mean, I have played it. I should finish it.
Yes.
And we'll get to how I play some of these games in a minute.
Decade later, I should finish that.
Yeah, I should finish that game that I started a decade ago. Tony, did you play anything else besides the new game you played this week?
I did play more MechWarrior 5 Clans.
Mm-hmm.
I made fun of the story before. Maybe not the story. Maybe just the acting, like the delivery. Yeah. And that stuff is still true. The story does get more interesting as that game goes along. But like, the gameplay gets very repetitious. Mm. It's very like, I enjoy the missions. It's nice to get behind a mech and kill stuff. But every mission kind of feels like that. Like there's not a ton of variety in the missions.
Right.
And then, although they are very enjoyable, but I think the thing that bothers me the most is how invested you are in the particular mission you're playing, because the missions can be like 30 minutes long. There are no mid-mission saves.
That sucks.
Yes. So, for instance, I was playing I played on Tuesday night, and I haven't played since because it was demoralizing. I played through this mission. It lasted about 35 minutes, and at the very end, I died, and my unit got wiped out, and boo-hoo, sad. But that meant that I had to start all the way over from the beginning and do that whole 35-minute section over again. I almost said right now, I kind of get why they designed it that way. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. It's really frustrating and annoying. It makes me not want to play. Because that is a long mission. Like, if the missions were like 10 minutes, fine, I don't care.
Right, because you could jump right back in and do it again and try to get a different result.
35 minutes is a long time to play through a mission, die, and then have to do it over again in its entirety. That is, like, archaic. It's not the way most modern games work, because it sucks, and it's just, it's really demoralizing. And like, I have played a lot of MechWarrior. I've really enjoyed it. But I find this part to be really, really frustrating. And like, I can play through the whole mission and maybe I play through it again. I play better and it's fine. But like, it's a long time. 35 minutes is a long time.
It would be nice if there was like, you know, oh, you've reached this point in the mission. We're going to do like a save. Like, you can always revert all the way back, but hey, do you want to start from the checkpoint?
Yeah. It's like, the part that I understand is you're supposed to manage your mech through the whole mission and like keep an eye on your damage and try to keep it safe and manage your ammo. And like, I understand that. That's what they're going for. But as a player, it sucks. Especially when you're playing through the mission for the first time and like, I have no idea what's hitting me. Like, I don't know where things are. So I'm like taking this damage and whatever. But now, like, I've had the experience. It's great. But like, that was a long time for a learning experience to have to go all the way through it again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that I could definitely see where you'd be like, nah, I don't want to play any more of this right now.
I need a break. I need a break, and I moved on to a different game, and I haven't really played it since.
we will quickly get to the game that you have been playing, the new game. Yes. But before that, I also picked up a new game this week, or I don't know, calling it a game is weird. It's a collection of games, but also a museum piece. I got Tetris Forever, which is by Digital Eclipse. They're the team that did Atari 50, which was the kind of like documentary style history piece on the history of Atari. This is on Tetris and very similar style. Like you're going to go through a different timeline. Yeah, there's a timeline. There's interview video. There's historical footage. There is, pictures, documents, and box art, and like, you know, little blurbs about it all. And I've read stuff on. I've read books on Tetris. I have watched multiple documentaries on Tetris. They have stuff that like never seen before. Brand new interviews with.
That's neat.
Alexei Patinov, who is the creator, and his partner, who I'm currently drawing a blank on, but his partner in that, who's the guy who originally licensed Tetris.
Is it archival interviews, or is this stuff they interviewed so, like, for the game?
So some of the stuff is the guy who licensed it, he had like a video camera at the time back in like 1988, 1989.
Yeah.
You've probably seen some of that stuff because he's released some of that stuff previously.
Well, some of that was in the trailers, like showing old footage. But I'm just saying, like, do they talk to Alexei?
They are talking to him and his partner, his business partner, in their company headquarters, where they just have actual new interview footage of them.
That's what I was getting
at. Explaining. They're answering questions and they're also kind of retelling the story with in more detail than probably we've ever gotten before. And like that stuff is what I'm really, like, really enjoying.
That's what made the Atari collection great.
Yeah. You're getting like these interviews with, the old designers, remembering back to when they, when Atari was founded. Same thing here. Except like, the story of Tetris is pretty wild in how, like, all the licensing and how it came to be, because Patinov created it in the USSR, and everything at that point was, their communist society. He didn't have the right or the ability to just kind of like negotiate himself. So you had KGB people and that were dealing, they were writing up contracts for weapons and stuff. They were working on the contract for Tetris for the licensing, with these American and Japanese and British companies. So it's all pretty wild, and hearing it straight from them is really interesting. There's a version of the original Tetris,
the prototype.
Yeah, that like he wrote and it were being passed around on floppy disks.
It's pretty neat that's on there.
It plays like shit, but
does it? it looks like it would be like visually kind of confusing too, because it's all like brackets.
Imagine playing Tetris in like a spreadsheet, but in the 1980s, where
it's just
a green and black screen,
it's just neat because like you can see absolutely documentary footage of something, and then it's like, you could mess with it too, try it out. Like, it's like, again, the museum concept is kind of what they're doing. I think we said we wanted way more of these, and it's really cool that. I think this is a great, great choice as like a follow up to the Atari one. Like, I mean, Tetris is like you said, the story is insane, and it's also just one of the best games ever made. I recognize that as someone who sucks at it. It's just cool. Yeah, I'm gonna get it eventually.
It's really neat. I think the core price will be $35, I guess, at some point. I got it for $29.99 or something like that, because it was on sale this week. But $35, not bad. It comes with 15 different games. A lot of them are Tetris.
I didn't know the museum aspect until like this week. But I think what kept me from being really interested, like I saw First Trailer, I was just like, oh, a collection of Tetris games. I was like, yeah. Okay, but if I want to play like the best Tetris, I can just play Tetris Effect.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly like that. The reason to get this is the
history,
the history,
the stuff. Documentary.
I mean, they're like, I never played. Just tonight, I played a game called Hattris, which was a follow up that the guy made. He kept making stuff with like. Hattris, Facetris, he would just like come up with different.
Sometimes you have one good idea in life.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Like, his wife really hated when he came up with Mistress. That was bad.
Hattris was actually neat. Like, I played it the one time. I think I'm good now that I played it, but it was neat. Like you. Two different hats come down and like you're stacking them, and you have to like you know, just like with Tetris, like you want to match up the same shape. So you want the same hats to stack on top of each other. If you get like five hats, then that stack of hats disappears. So it's like very simple. I could see why it didn't like take off, because like, why would I play this weird hat game when I could just play real Tetris? But it was neat enough. Like said, like, you know, that's the thing, right? I never knew this thing existed. And this was like part of the history of Tetris, and got a chance to play it. And it comes with a brand new Tetris game. It's called Tetris Time Warp. And so it's, you know, base Tetris. And what happens is every once in a while you'll get a piece that drops, and that piece, you'll know which piece it is, right? Because it'll look different. It'll look like a Game Boy piece or something from like Tetris Blast. And once you clear that piece, you'll be warped to a different version of Tetris where you have, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds to like clear lines there. And doing so will then give you bonus points and clear lines on your main game board. So like you're warping to different eras of Tetris, getting bonus points, clearing stuff on the main board. It's kind of a neat concept. Like, it's not like, oh, that's going to replace Tetris Effect for me, but it's like something to jump into and kind of like toy around with. It's a neat idea for Tetris. Whole thing's pretty cool. I may eventually, if I get a good sale, there are two other Digital Eclipse kind of documentary things that are out there. One is the Lamasoft, the Jeff Minter story. I don't know a whole lot about that. That Jeff Minter is the guy who made Tempest. And yeah, I don't know much about Tempest.
I'm not into that. I mean, it's kind of neat. I've just never gotten super into it.
I would need a sale, but I would definitely like, you know, if I could get that for like 15 bucks. How about you?
There's been like, what, three Tempest games? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like Tetris. There's been a million of them.
Minter's released like a bunch of like weird games like that over the years.
So not just about Tempest. It's
it's about Minter himself, the designer. The other one is the making of Karateka, which is Jordan Mechner made that. He's the guy who made Prince of Persia. It is only on that game though, so like I would need a really, really good sale. I've never played Karateka, but you know, being as it's the guy who made Prince of Persia, like I think that would be neat to explore. But I'm not paying $40 for like the history of one game that I never played. Yeah. But keep delivering these things, like
yes,
more. Like
I don't know how they do, and I don't know what the budget versus like, you know, whatever. But like I think it's a really kind of like awesome new kind of genre of game, I think. Like, it's that Atari collection, like those games I don't think are very fun to play outside of like Missile Command and, you know, a few of them, but like that package is an absolute like recommend. Like, yeah, you should, if you care about like if you're just interested in history, like it's cool. Like,
yeah, if you like video games and history, like it is a neat thing to explore, just to like see how the industry kind of kicked off in America. They released or will be releasing DLC packs for Atari 50 to add multiple chapters in.
Interesting.
So I might check those out at some point as well, but right now Tetris Forever, huge recommend for me if you are interested in the history of Tetris. And I can't say that the games are phenomenal, like they're Tetris, like, and Tetris is great.
You think Time Warp is good though?
Like, I think Time Warp is a good game. It is the best version of Tetris in that package.
Okay.
But I'm gonna play it, but it's not, as I said, it's not gonna replace Tetris Effect for me. Like that is the best version of Tetris out there right now. If all you want is to play Tetris, get that. If you want to know about Tetris, get Forever.
I also a few other Tetris shout outs. Like I also liked I like the first Puyo Pop ones.
Yeah, yeah. Puyo Tetris.
I like the DS one.
Tetris DS is a great version of Tetris.
Which I'm guessing is not in this collection.
No, and that's a big complaint people have. Like so those are Tetris DS.
That would be hard.
Game Boy Tetris, Nintendo Tetris. They were made by Nintendo. So they're not in this package. The ones that are in this are the ones that are still owned by, I think it's called the Tetris Company, which is Pajintov's company.
Also, Tetris 99, is that still going?
I think it is. I think that's the one
my wife loves. Like that's the one she got super into.
So that's a really good version of it too. Yeah. It's that battle royale type mode.
Yeah,
really cool.
Although I think I never like completed it myself. I just think it's awesome. Tetris Effect. She completed the whole game. Like she was super into it.
I got a win and a. What was it?
In 99.
I was like, I'm good. I did it.
Yeah, that's how I was in Fall Guys. Is that what it's called?
You got to win, and we're like, I'm out now.
Yep. I did it.
I retire as a winner.
Yep.
Done it.
And it's so hard to like get back to, like sometimes it's just pure luck. Like in those the battle royale games, like you just have to hope that you get the pieces the right way, or in Fall Guys that you just get lucky and like you just reach the end first. So yeah, it's like you might never get back to that winner circle again. Might as well take it as it is. All right. So Tony, you have played, I guess, the other big game that's not Black Ops for this the last few weeks. You played Dragon Age: The Veilguard.
I have.
How is Dragon Age: The Veilguard?
I'm enjoying it. It's fun. It's good. But if you had told me that this was a Dragon Age game, if you hadn't told me this was a Dragon Age game, I certainly would have never called it a Dragon Age game.
Okay.
There are certainly like Dragon Age characters, like Solas is there, Morrigan, like Varric, yes, with Bianca. So like it's clearly in the Dragon Age universe, but like the original Dragon Jab played was a CRPG. And like the other games have that whole like I have a party, I'm managing them, I'm ordering them around. Like, that's a huge element. This game is very clearly a character-based action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I am bringing my character along, I am giving them abilities, and, you know, fighting in combat, but, like, it's very, very action-y. There are moments where you can like direct you have a party of three people. It's very Mass Effect-y in this regard. So you have a party of three people, the other two all act on their own. You could never give them any orders of any kind and they would be totally fine in combat fighting whoever they were fighting or whatever. You can tell them to use their abilities. And you can like line up the abilities so they support each other. So maybe you like have somebody like freeze someone else and then somebody else hits them with something that's like smashes the frozen thing or whatever.
When you say you could tell them to use their abilities, do you mean as a general rule you could tell them to use their abilities or like specifically in combat?
You can hit a button that will immediately stop the combat
and let your other two folks use their abilities. So you could kind of be tactical even though it's like it's a live action whatever.
Yes. An incredible like the Dragon Age games, you could go wherever you wanted at any time, you know, within reason. Here, it's a very like it's very story driven. It's very like linear, which is kind of like contrary to what I expect. I don't mind it, and maybe it also, that could be an effect of how far I am with the game. I think I'm about 3 hours in.
I heard the tutorial area or prologue area is very long.
Yeah. So, and it's still like introducing concepts, which is good because there seems to be a lot to the game. And I was watching like videos of how to play before I played it. And like, I was like, this is a lot. Like, I don't understand what you're doing or why you're picking those things or whatever. There are a lot of elements to it. So I it wasn't quite what I would have expected from a Dragon Age game. Like, I knew from the coverage that it was going to be different from those previous experiences. I just didn't expect it to be quite this different. Not that I mind it. Like, it's fun. The combat is well designed. It's interesting. The abilities all fit really well together, and you can do some really cool stuff when you get your party all on one track. Like, you can like freeze somebody and then whack them to knock all their heart, their health down, and then your third guy uses a kick ability to knock the now weak enemy off a cliff. And like, that kind of stuff is super, super cool. It does have the sort of expected dialogue options where you're like choosing paths and whatnot. It feels very, if I were to like type the game, it's like fantasy Mass Effect more than it is like a Dragon Age game, which, you know, given the developer, it's not that surprising. I like it. So far, I like it. There seems to be a lot to it, even though it is a very directed experience. It also seems like there's a map, like maybe it will open up as it goes along. But so far, one path is all I'm experiencing. But I look forward to playing a lot more of it because it is good. Like, it's super, like, the dialogue is great. The story seems really, really cool. If you haven't played through Inquisition, it will spoil the end of that game for you. So, because the person who ends up being the main villain of that game does something at the beginning of this game, and if you didn't know that they weren't the main villain, then there's a whole lot of stuff.
Like, why is this going on?
Like, he was good. Why is he doing that? Like, oh, he's not good. Oh. I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. Good. It's not quite what I expected, but it's what I am getting is good.
That's, we'll touch on it. 'Cause like you mentioned, Dragon Age Origins was a CRPG.
Yep.
Kind of. I mean, I guess like I played it on PC, so that was exactly how it felt to me. It was like a CRPG because, yes, you know, it kind of had that same kind of, you know, viewpoint there and the way combat was handled. Jeff, did you play that on console? Did it play the same? Like, I never played it on 360, so
I played that game on console, and then I also played through it again on PC, and it's the same game.
Okay, it's the same.
Yeah.
So I just finished Dragon Age 2 today. because I had played Dragon Age Origins, which was the CRPG, yes, and then I played Dragon Age 2, like the beginning of it. I was like, whatever, moved off of it. I don't know. That was just, it didn't hold my attention at the time. And then same with Inquisition, kind of like I played maybe the first 10 hours of that. Never got out of, what is it, the Hinterlands? Never left that area. And so I was like, I'm going to go back before I play Veilguard because it like links directly into Inquisition. I guess I should know the story. And it's weird that you say like it follows directly from Inquisition because
it does.
Because Origins doesn't follow directly into 2. Like, 2 is just like, hey, you're a new character. And I'm assuming that Veilguard, you're also a new character. You're not importing your Inquisition character.
Yeah, so the first thing you do is you create your own character. However, there's also one of those like story trees that I remember specifically from the Mass Effect games where you could like pick what had been chosen in terms of options from the previous games to like develop the story along.
Yeah. Yeah, so like you could kind of like things don't change too much, but it's like, you know, this happened this way, and you know, all the mages lived or whatever. How you kind of like those games played out. But 2 is a weird game because, like, unless I missed something in the 25 hours I had, like, I could control all 4 of my party members,
mm-hmm.
but not, like, there didn't seem to be, like, a pause. Like, I could flip to them.
Yeah.
By pressing, like, RB, so, like, I could, you know, have my character, and then I could jump to Varric or Meryl or whoever, like, instantaneously by pressing the button, but I didn't seem to have, outside of going into the menu and being like, all right, I want them to be aggressive, and here's the skills I want them to utilize. I didn't have, like, direct control over the party outside of, like, while I was instantaneously playing it.
Like, to the point where you can't, like, change their armor or their equipment. They look the same the whole game along.
Yeah, the only thing, I could change their weapon. But yeah, their armor is the same outside of, like, you can get upgrades for it. That, like, that's it. Like, there's an upgrade for their armor, and it'll change what they're wearing.
And so Dragon Age 2 was actually shit out by BioWare very quickly over a short period of time.
100% understandable. Yeah. Like, having played it just now, because you never leave the city of Kirkwall. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you leave it there. Sometimes you'll go to the mountains where the elves live.
Underground for a while,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. But it's not like you're not traveling anywhere. It's not a big, you know, I mean, when you think RPG, like, you think Skyrim or something, like, where it's like, all right, there's multiple towns. You're going to travel to those towns. No, there's Kirkwall, and you're going to bounce between, like, the different districts, the Hightown district, the docks, Lowtown, Darktown. And they reuse those maps over and over. And
there's a lot of revisiting because, you know, they didn't have that much time to make it. So they had to reuse assets.
And I didn't think the story was very good in 2. Like, I think the character stuff is great. Like, you know, and it's similar to Mass Effect, right? Like, where your party members, you're going to have, like, loyalty missions and stuff where, or you can make them rivals, I guess, if you choose to go against their personality. But that was the stuff I thought was best. Like, the main story in this, I was like, so why? I don't know. I guess I'll save the city from the Templars. They're kind of assholes. Like, and I don't really have a choice. That's just how this is pushing me. So, I did not love Dragon Age 2. at all. Like, it's fine, but and going back to it now, that game came out, what, 2009, I think?
Its predecessor came out 2008. I'm pretty sure they were, like, in consecutive years.
Wow. Yeah, so yeah. They just pushed that out right away.
Yeah, it was literally like, let's get this out, and then Inquisition took a while, and Inquisition is a much better game.
Yeah, so that's next on my list. I'll play Inquisition. I know Jeff had just recently played some Inquisition. Did you finish it, Jeff?
No, I could not. It's not, like, bad. Like, at first I was like, the combat is really fun. I especially like the whole, there's, like, this rift thing. Like, enemies be flying out of rifts, and you have to, like, try to close the rifts as you're fighting them. It's a good idea. But the game just gets so repetitive and dull, and it's just like, I don't care about any of this.
Is there like enemy variety in it? Because that was something I also noticed in Dragon Age 2.
I don't believe so.
It's like, oh, you're fighting slavers, or you're fighting, like, these weird demon ghoul things, or you're fighting slavers, or you're fighting Templars that look like slavers.
I mean, maybe there's some cool boss fights as you get deep into it. I don't know, but it's just it's not bad. I was always the defender of that one, but just trying to play it again now. Again, there's, like, certain things where it's like, there's things that are newer that does this better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And again, for me, the main reason I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3 is I wanted to buy Veilguard, and I was like, why buy Veilguard when I could fucking just play Baldur's Gate 3? And here we are.
Well, Well, I'm gonna play Inquisition, but actually, the Veil Guard actually sounds like maybe more my like more what I'm looking yeah. for currently.
Yeah. Do you prefer it, arena. Tony? Do you prefer Veil Guard over what? Inquisition?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think Inquisition. I agree with your like it's very repetitious. I think a lot of that game plays itself. Like you kind of just hoping to play a CRPG and like you're just kind of like watching things happen. It's kind of annoying. And that game just didn't draw me in.
Does Dragon Age know what it is?
I don't think so. Like generic, I think the original game, like the original game had a vision, and I think it did it well. The next game was like just a cash grab. Like let's get it out as quickly as we can. Using assets we already owned. Inquisition was kind of like a better attempt at that, but it like it moved it in a more it moved a CRPG into a more actiony realm. And like this last game is nothing like the previous three. Like it's clearly in the same universe, but very actiony.
It's just like applying Mass Effect to
Like it's more like those the Baldur's Gate games that Jeff liked before. Before he experienced Baldur's
Gate. I wouldn't expect that comparison.
So like, just a more action oriented game. And I'm actually not surprised by that coming from BioWare. Cause like they've been moving more action oriented since Mass Effect.
Yeah. Since the original Mass Effect, like those games aren't RPGs afterwards. Yeah.
Like even Mass Effect, like from the original to two, like they,
and two to three.
Did they change? Like I didn't remember major changes from two to three, but sure.
I think they've tried to make it feel more and more like a shooter. That's how I kind of remember it.
No, I absolutely agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Hey, Earl.
Howdy.
And I think what BioWare values, right, is action, which is like making it fast paced action and character stuff. Like they're very big on making these like character driven RPG stories. It's not necessarily like people keep looking back like, oh, like BioWare strayed so far. Like they've been making these action oriented character driven RPGs for 15 years now.
Yeah.
Like Baldur's Gate 1, 2, like that stuff. Yeah, that was them and Black Isle, but they've been making these games longer than that like small period of time, like 5-6 years that they made those types of games.
I don't know, man. I wish people would look at Baldur's Gate 3 and be like, maybe we should make these type of games again. Like, I just wish, but oh well.
I mean, you also want somebody to put the level of care and detail that Larian put in,
which is like
asking a lot,
which is insane. Yeah,
it is insane, like how open ended and you know, like, and it's all like voiced and any way you go, it's interesting. Like it's just wild.
I'm excited to hear more about how the Veil Guard plays out for you, Tony. As I will start my Inquisition journey, and then if Veil Guard turns out good for you, I hear it plays well on the Steam Deck, so I might get it and play it there. Like it's an action game, like I can get behind playing that on like the handheld.
Yeah, I can see it playing really well on Steam Deck. The control scheme works well for it.
That's good. Good. Earl, have you played anything in the last week? 2 weeks. Well, you've been away because you were away last week.
So yes, I guess I technically have played something when I was away as well. Godspeed to the PlayStation 5 Pro.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Did somebody get one?
No, 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 but it's out.
Lots of scalpers did, though.
Lots of scalpers did, but yeah, but I benefited from a friend's friend's upgrade into one, so I was finally able to get a PlayStation 5 for $250 or something like that.
It's a good price.
Yeah, which is like half off. I mean, it's not EU's, but it seems fine. It's working. But the problem is, like, I was just on vacation, so I need to find money to actually buy games. But I have tried out Astro's Playroom, which is the game that kind of comes with the system.
Yep.
And I'm enjoying it so far. I will say it is weird, as somebody who is a huge advocate of the Wii and the Wii U and whatever. I like motion controls. I'm like, oh, I think Astro does a bit too much with the controls. I think the first place I went was the GPU Jungle, and like this okay. the thing where you have to wear like the suit and you have to like rotate the controller, and I'm like, oh, this is a bit too much, because like I'm rotating it, but it's also, I guess maybe I'm over you rotating it, because he's also kind of moving to the side, so like sometimes you want to just aim straight up. But other than that, I'm enjoying it. I think it's fun. I think it's very cute. I will, you know, part of the reason I got this, well, it was a good deal, is to get a get Astro Bot at some point. So again, like I said,
I was like, if the first game you buy should be Astro Bot.
Well, again, the first game I buy will be whatever's cheap, and I think Spider-Man 2 has a better chance of being cheap than Black Friday. But yes. Astro Bot is on my to watch list for sure. And then I get a PlayStation Plus because there's a bunch of games I have access to, but I don't have, you know, I haven't had a PlayStation up and running in about a year or so. But yeah, when I played it, that is fun. And then for my trip, I was trying to find something new because my trip was like that weird. I would leave before Mario and Luigi came out, which was going to be the game I would pick up. So I picked up a game called Owl Boy. I don't know if we've already discussed that.
I've heard of it.
Who?
Did I try it?
And we're just going to ignore that.
Somebody played it. It's like a 2D platformer, right?
It's like a puzzle platformer of some.
Okay.
It's like a platform action game, I guess. Because you are, I mean, even then, that's kind of, because it's weird to say it's a platformer because you're an owl. It's like you don't necessarily. Jumping isn't a big deal for the most part, but what you can do is you can carry characters. And carrying characters, one, it's how you attack. Like the default, you get like your friend, he shoots just a general gun, and that kind of becomes like a twin stick shooter. The second character I got was a pirate, and he has like a kind of like a charge firing flamethrower essentially. And that can break through rocks, cut through defense, and stuff like that. But so far, the game is very charming, very cute, very nice art style, decent story. You know, it does have stealth segments, which I always hate. But I've been enjoying it, and I think it's something... Again, I think I picked it up for maybe $5 or something like that. But it's working for me, and I'm enjoying it. So yes, this is Owl Boy. It was on the Switch. I don't know if it's still on sale, but it's worth checking out. Yeah, I think those have been the main two things. And I would just mention this because I feel like I don't mention it enough, even though it's a forever game. Fortnite started a new season, which is OG Season 2, which meant it meant back to kind of when I started the game a little before. I do like them going back to kind of the old locations and old weapons and stuff like that. It does. It's kind of like WoW Classic, I guess, where it's like it's nice to kind of see where the game started and where it ended up, because like sometimes like these changes are like season by season, and it's like, oh, it's not a big deal. But then you go back, like this would have been 4 years ago now or something like that, and think, oh, a lot's changed in that time, good and bad. And I do think they announced this week that's going to become a permanent fixture, like another playlist in their grand scheme of Fortnite-ness.
Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
How was your trip to,
As I tell people, it was mostly fine. You know, I left Tuesday. Tuesday night went very horribly into Wednesday morning, so I was in a very depressive funk on vacation. I did not want to get out of bed most of the day. But I'm like,
horrible.
Yeah, I did pay for it. After that, it was really nice. It was an all-inclusive resort. So, plenty of drinks, some good food.
Jesus, I would have been fucking shit-faced. I was shit-faced in my house.
Oddly enough, I did not get drunk. Part of it, I think, is like they do water down, but they don't give you as much alcohol as you think is or in those drinks.
Yes, and also when you're doing the kind of all day thing, it just kind of like spreads out so much that you
exactly what happened. Yeah. I mean, most days I was having double digit drinks, but it was
I
was
so over like 12 10, hours. Yeah,
yeah, you start at like 10 a.m. finish like 1 a.m. It's like you're not really getting drunk. You're really in a good mood most of the day. But yeah, it was great. I'm an old man. So I know how my body operates. So I came up with a game.
He says it's the youngest of all of us.
Yes. I came up with a game
plan. I got bad news for you, Earl.
I came up with a game plan when I was there. It's like the first day I was there was like all rum drinks. The second day I was there was like gin drinks. The third day was vodka drinks. The fourth day was like whatever the hell. At some point, you kind of forget cocktails. And then the fifth day was like the day we were even. I only had like 3 or 4 drinks. I had one beer the entire time. But it's so great because, I mean, for the most part, you have to go to a bar and order your drinks. But there'd be times I'd just be sitting in the water at the pool. Like some person would come by, like, what do you want? I'm like, yeah, just get me this.
They didn't have a pool.
This is why you got to get that butler service, because they're like bringing you drinks all day long.
Butler service. They didn't have like a pool bar like in the water, like where you could sit in the water. Oh man, that's your best. You just pee right there and fucking order another drink.
I don't know about that peeing there, but I mean, it was nice to get out the water every so often. Like one of the downsides is I can't swim, but I do enjoy the water. I spent a lot of time in the pool, and I'm like, I do want to learn how to swim to actually enjoy the rest of the water. But yeah, it was great to just sit in the pool. And have somebody come by and be like, yeah, I want a Tom Collins or I want a Miami Vice or something like that. And it would show up and it would show up with food sometimes. It was an absolute delight. I would do it again soon. I mean, at this rate, I probably would prefer to be out of this country, but.
Understandable.
Hey, all want to be
My girlfriend and I have gotten in the habit of having a trip like that every year. Like, we just pick an island, go.
Tony, have you ever done a cruise, or are you just like fully against it?
I have no desire to do a cruise. Being on the island is much better.
You're so missing out. I've done both. Yeah. The cruise, in my opinion, is better because the food is better.
How is the food better? I don't understand.
Any all-inclusive I've ever been to, I found the food to be like buffet level.
Oh, no. At Sandals, it's all been really good. They're like actual.
They're not Sandals, so yeah, I don't know. But
to your point, I think some of it, one of the things I was disappointed with the food is like I was expecting more Bajan food. But then when I came back, I'm like, there's not a lot of necessary Bajan unique cuisine. They were a Commonwealth or a property or whatever. Of Britain until the 60s. So a lot of that is still, that food, or a lot of it is just Caribbean food from the other surrounding islands, which I've kind of grown up with. But like, it was breakfast and lunch were buffets. And for the most part, breakfast was very similar a lot of days, which is they had like one main, but they had like one kind of like meaty thing. It was like home fries. It was hash browns. And then like the last day we were there, they had like a like fried tomatoes, which is such a weird thing.
Go ahead.
No, go on. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna continue my pitch to Tony.
Oh okay. Yeah.
So instead of being on one island, you get to go to like 4 different countries and go to their islands. And when you're not on the islands, you're in this giant resort where it's like, do I want to go to a karaoke bar tonight? Do I want to go to a piano bar tonight? Do I want to go see like a like a Broadway level show tonight, like, and it's all fucking included, and like, I don't know.
Yeah, dude, but like an inclusive resort will do that too. Like,
they have the entertainment.
Yeah.
Dude, the last inclusive resort I went to, it was like, here's a buffet, there's free booze, there's the ocean. Now, it's been a long time since I've done that. So
it really depends on the resort. So we do sandals, and like, if you pick your sandals, like, it'll have like 8 different restaurants, and there'll be like a bunch of bars and entertainment options. Like, it has all that stuff.
The other cool thing about modern cruises is like, there's the big classic dining room, which is like, you know, you could have breakfast, lunch, and dinner included. But then there's all sorts of different restaurants. Like, there's a steakhouse, there's a, you know, a hibachi. Like, it's,
yeah.
There's a casino. Like, there's no short, which I think the all inclusives, you have a casino, I'm assuming, right?
I didn't have a casino.
What the fuck's going on with sandals?
I'm not really looking for a casino. I'm sure you can.
No.
I would want more entertainment. To Tony's point, like, yes, like, we had like, there was like some type of lounge singer every day from like 8:30 to like 11, and then after 11, the piano bar would open up. But the first night we were there, the piano bar didn't have a pianist. It was just a bar.
Piano sitting there.
Yeah, but like, it's the purpose of somebody playing it. The other two nights we went, there was somebody playing the piano and singing along and stuff like that. Though, very quickly I learned that, like, my head, a piano bar is very different. I think growing up in New York City and just having, like, Broadway people wanting to perform. Because, like, we got Sweet Caroline, we got the Piano Man, I forget the Stevie one. Like, there's just songs that we have every night. I'm like, oh, I'm over this already. And it's like two nights. but I would want something else kind of, I mean, I get it, but I would want like a third option in between. Like, if we want to kill time or something where we don't have to do these two things, or something else is open late at night. Yeah, it was fun. It was different. And it was great to just, I tell people this, it was my first time in an all-inclusive resort or like anything of that sort. So like, the first night we were there, it's like, we had dinner. I'm just like, what are we supposed to do now? Because like, it's weird to just kind of get up from a table and just peace out. Like, I'm waiting for them to like, bring a check or something over. Like, no, you just get up and go. They don't care. But yeah, good time.
Good. Well, I am glad you had a good time. Sad that you couldn't make it last forever, because you've come back to a mess. But it is what it is. And I did not see any major news this week, and we're running long. So maybe we'll talk about that next week. Next week is episode 700. We have nothing planned. But maybe we will finally get around to Earl's idea of video game movies and stuff. So, and maybe we'll do our Hall of Fame stuff next week. So, we'll do something though. We'll be back. Jeff, say good night.
Good night, and good luck.